Welcome to this week's edition of Pit Stop. I'm Jaco van der Merwe. I'm joined by road test editor Mark Jones. Mark last week drove the updated Chery Tiggo 8 Pro in standard and in max, guys. But Mark will tell you all about that just now. For those of you not familiar with Chery, or should I say their re-emergence in South Africa, they were present in South Africa around 15 years or so ago with a few models. They left the country. They came back with a hell of a bang in 2021, and they have sold a lot of cars since then. They started with the Chery Tiggo 4 Pro, moved on with it, added the 7, added the 8, and now they've also got sub-brands, which is the Omoda, which is already available, the C5 in South Africa, and For the future, they're planning to bring in the Jayco 2, but that is more for another day. We'll focus on the Chery Tiggo 8 Pro. And Mark, tell us, for those not familiar with that car, what is it? What does it do? Who's it aimed at?
Well, basically the 8 Pro, and now the very recently introduced 8 Pro Max, is a seven-seater sort of mid-size SUV. I would guess VW's Tiguan Allspace is kind of its main upfront rival. I've seen people kind of say it's equivalent to an Evolve H6 and an H6 GT. That doesn't quite make sense for me. And then I've also seen it being compared to the likes of Hyundai's Tucson and Kia Sportage. So yeah, it puts itself in some esteemed company, but I think it has the goodies to kind of have a good fight there.
Just to be very clear, obviously the difference between the standard one and the Max isn't size, although Max might be slightly misleading, thinking maybe that's a seven-seater, the other one not. They're all seven-seaters. They're all the same size. And it's a 60,000 Rand premium for the Max, which comes in at 669,000, as opposed to the standard one, 609. Mark, what engines do these have, and how do they compare with the rest out there?
Well, so the 8 Pro, as you rightly say, it's got nothing really to do with size. The 8 Pro does run a little 1600 turbocharged engine, which makes 145 kilowatts and 200 newton meters,
which you did not drive at the launch, am I right?
100%. Came nowhere near it. Wasn't really mentioned right till the end. The big news, obviously, for the Chery brand is the Pro Max. I mean, it's got the 2-liter turbocharged engine, a full 187 kilowatts, 390 newton meters. So they really feel they've got a product that is powerful, married to a 7-speed DCT gearbox. And that's the one they want to push. So, yeah, Pro Max and Pro, the difference is engine and then some spec inside, and that's it.
Mark, 669 for that car with the amount of spec, as you mentioned, it almost sounds too good to be true in this day and age. I'm going to take a wild guess here and say it's not all perfect. There must have been some little niggles that annoyed you.
Yeah, look, I mean, it is. Chery are very proud of the fact of this price. They hit it right till the end. They did a huge fanfare display. The Umhlanga Lighthouse Tower, they projected the price on there. It's something they're proud of. I mean, you get so much car for the money. So, yeah, but Chery say quite clearly, they are a tech company, not so much a car manufacturer. And their product comes with lots of tech, and they change this tech rather quickly. And we had a Pro Max come out just a couple of months ago, and this new one's been changed rather substantially now. And it offers a whole lot more. But, like you say, there are these odd niggles, before I get into sort of brand perception. But, yeah, for an SUV, it's got everything. You jump in it. But for me, the ride was just a little too firm for what you'd call a comfortable SUV. And that was in comfort mode, you know. I just thought they could have softened that down a little. Maybe they had their reasons for it. I don't know. They've made refinements and changes to the double clutch gearbox, but still on pull off. And I mean, I wrote about it. You can't avoid it. It's every time you pull off with the car. If you're not really gentle with the throttle, the car sort of scrabbles away from the lights and it needs some calibration. There's just no two ways around it. And the one sort of personal niggle for me that I really, really battled with, but maybe others won't, is it's got this very special interior rearview mirror that instead of just showing you what's going on behind the car like most interior rearview mirrors do and what's sort of happening within its parameter in the car, this thing's got a special camera and it shows the entire inside of the car like on a video kind of look thing. And it's just so unsettling for your eyes. You look at this mirror and you see this weird big view of the car behind you. And then if your eyes glance at the side mirrors, that whole perception is different because that's normal mirrors and the car behind you is in a different place. So I spend most of my drive, unfortunately, seriously car sick, but maybe others won't feel like that.
That's quite interesting because over the last few years with Audi's e-tron, the little side mirrors isn't mirrors, it's cameras projecting a little video image inside the doors. It's quite interesting. You note that I think the Cherry main rearview mirror then actually fits in more with the Audi's inside projected displays that you get inside the car instead of having to go between a computer screen and a mirror, basically. Mark, speaking about Cherry, like I said, they've in the space of 2 years, they've rolled out these SUVs. And in sport, they say, look at the scoreboard. If you look at the sales numbers, they are selling anything they bring like hotcakes. Do you think now with the introduction of the Omoda and with a few Jaku models coming, do you think they're going too fast at this? Don't you think there's enough options there in the Tiggo lineup? How do you see this pan out? I mean, must we give them the benefit of the doubt for now? Because in 2-3 years down the line, we're going to say it was a masterstroke by then. How do we look at all of this?
Yeah, cool. It might be a masterstroke. Who knows? But we're without generalizing, and I mean, we just got to say it. The Chinese are very good at bringing a lot of product to the market very quickly. Capacity is not their problem. Turning product around and changing things is clearly not their problem. So they have a habit of kind of, yes, one, yes, 10, yes, 100. What's white today will be pink tomorrow and blue the next day. And that concerns me a little in terms of, well, you buy your Cherry Tiggo 8 Pro Max in January 2023, and 7-8 months later, there's a facelifted, technology-updated model, and you kind of go, wow, my Cherry 8 Pro Max is a bit dated now, and within 8 months, I have to buy the new one. Where other sort of manufacturers, they hang on to their cars a good 3-4 years, get a sort of mid-life cycle change, and another couple of years before you see a new model. Cherry's kind of switching it up very fast, and yeah, I just wonder, you know, the first time buyer, he buys his new car and he's happy, but what happens when he comes to trade that car in 8 months' time? And the guys go, well, listen, nobody really wants your old model car now. And you take a bit of a loss. Are the consumers going to feel the brunt of this massive product ramp up where, well, we've got 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 customers and we're growing, but who cares, you know, they can get discarded and we'll just keep bringing new cars and getting new customers. I'm not convinced how this is going to play out in 3-4 years from now. I'm really not.
Yes, of course, only time will tell what the future will hold, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens with all these things. And I mean, Cherry, Haval, GWM, BIAC, BIAC, as you can call it, they're only the first ones. There's a lot of others coming, and it's going to be very interesting times for the motoring industry. And that's not even speaking about powertrains and moving to hybrids and electric vehicles and all of that. There's some big changes in the forecast on the landscape. But as usual, this podcast will keep you up to date. Thanks for tuning in this week. Please tune in again next week. I'm Jaco van der Merwe, and I was joined by Mark Jones. Thanks for listening.